going to talk a little bit about Kesher Elyon, because the Gemara has two comments about the actual knots of the tzitzis, and there's also some debate as to what qualifies as a knot. What would you call a knot? If you look at people who have tchelis, let's say, and have the Rambam Shita, a lot of times it doesn't look like it has any knots. It just looks like it's just sort of twisted around and tucked through. It doesn't... What? Yeah, it's like more like a slip knot. It doesn't look like it's any real knot. So let's take a look at the Gemara Daf Lamed Chesem Beis, starting from what we said. We'll start from Amar Rava. So two comments the Gemara is going to have over here. The Gemara says Amar Rava Shema Mina Tzarich Likshar Al Kol Chulia V'Chulia. Rava has a chiddush that by every chulia you need to tie a kesher. Now, if I was a good Rebbe, what I would have done by the pregame shir is define some terms for you. Very important. In order to have any discussion over here, we need to know what some terms mean. So first of all, this part of the tzitzis, the part that is knotted altogether, that's called the gedil. This part of the tzitzis, the part that hangs loose, the string part, that's called the anaf of the tzitzis. So gedil, anaf. Good? Okay, the ratio of gedil to anaf is one gedil, one third gedil, two third anaf. That's the way it should be. That's the way it sort of is almost by my tzitzis. Good, so that's the halacha. That's what it's supposed to be, l'chadchila. If it's not exactly that ratio, it's fine also. What are chulios? So chulios we're going to get to in the Gemara soon. There are two possibilities what a chulia is. Pashut pshat, a chulia is each section between where we have knots. Now, we're going to see that Rava's being mechadesh, that you need to have knots between the chulios, not so pashut, that's true, but Rava holds that you need to have knots in between each chulia. So let's say you have seven wines, those are called krichos. So terminology, gedil, anaf, chulios, and krichos. Chulios are the each section, pashtos. Krichos are each wind around is called a kricha. So now that we know the basic terminology that we're talking about, so says Rava, you have to tie a knot al kol chulia v'chulia. By every chulia, you need a knot, and that's why we have, according to those who don't have tchelis and follow and tie tzitzis, like it says in Rashi and Chumash, with five knots and the 7, 9, 11, 13 or 7, 8, 11, 13, whichever minute you go with. They have knots in between the first seven, then in between the next 8 or 9, then the next 11. There's a knot in between each one. So says Rava, how do I know that that's true, that you need knots for each one? First of all, how do I know you need knots at all by tzitzis? What does it say anything about needing a knot? So, when it says k'shartim, what's it talking about? Mitzvah, right? Kshatim lo salidecha. I wanted to see if someone would say that. I dafke asked it. So, kshatim lo salidecha v'yutadav as ben enecha. That's something about what's al yedecha and ben enecha. But in the Torah, it never says you have to make. It says gedilim tasilcha. You should make gedilim. Gedilim means like braids. You should make something that's sort of mushed together and it's not just loose hanging. So that's what you have to make. Now, how do you make that? So typically, if you ever had dreadlocks and if you ever had to make braids in your hair, the way to keep the braids held in place, you're nodding, you know how. How do you hold a braid in place? You remember from your, Barbie dolls that you had to tie it at the end, otherwise it would just fall apart if you don't tie it in place. So it needs some sort of kesher in order to hold it in place. So that's what it would seem would be the function of a knot. Not that there's a din that you need a knot, but that it's just practical. How else are you going to get the tzitzis to say, how else are you going to make a good deal without a knot? That's what would be the what I would have assumed had Rava not come along. But comes along Rava and tells me, and had Rava not come along. But Rava comes along and tells me, halacha number one, you need a kesher bei every chulia. What's my raya? He says, if you didn't need a kesher by each chulia, then when Bnei Rabbi Chiya say that if tzitzis gets cut, gardume tcheles are kosher, how would that ever be possible without multiple knots? Because kiven de ishtari le'ilai, ishtari le'kula. Once the first knot gets undone, well then everything's going to fall apart. You're not going to have gedilin anymore. Meaning, if you really hold gardumen means all the way down to the knot, that knot's going to become undone. And if that's the only knot, by definition, everything else will become undone. Because like we just said, when you braid the hair, if you don't put a knot at the end of it, it will all come out. It will all fall apart. So of course you need a knot by each chuliyah, and that way if the top knot comes out, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when the top knot comes out? So the little chuliyah between the top knot and the next knot will fall apart, but then you'll still have other knots. You'll still be okay. You'll still have a good deal with the rest of what's remaining. Right. That's Rava's raya.
I don't even know when
okay, because in order to make a deal, that's going to be the next sugya of how many and how we. But that's not, pashas not a dindaraisa. But you need something that's held together. Gedilim is the word in the Torah. So that, and gedilim means like a braided something. So it means you need something. And also the way the Rishonim seem to understand that, at least the Rambam, that's the whole point of tcheles is to be korech around. So, but again, that's really the next sugya. So. That's Rava's raya. So says the Gemara, that's not a good raya. Because, yes, the Bnei Rabbi Chiya say that if your tzitzis gets cut down, it's still going to be kosher. And obviously that means that the top knot might fall apart, and it will still be kosher because you have other knots there. But maybe, says the Gemara, Dilma di Iktar. Maybe Bnei Rabbi Chiya happened to have been talking about a case where you happen to have tied many knots. But you don't really need to tie many knots. And in Echinami, Bnei Rabbi Chiya would tell you, if you only tied one knot, well, then gardumin are going to be possible because the whole thing's going to fall apart. Gardumin are only kosher if it happens to be that you tied many knots. But you know, it's not a raya that you have a din that you have to tie many knots. It just happens to be, b'chiyah gavner, we're talking that you tied many knots. So that is number one. That is the first step. Yeah.
Didn't literally translate the iktar?
That it was tied. Kesher, loshon of kesher. That it was tied, which means that's what you did. That's what you happened to do. What? Yeah, in Aramaic. It switches. So that's what it means. So says the Gemara further. Va'amar Rava. So that was the statement of Rava. You need a bunch of knots, otherwise Bnei Rabbi Chiya doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, bad proof, because it could just be Bnei Rabbi Chiya. We're talking about a case where you happen to have made a bunch of knots. Statement number two. Va'amar Rava. Shema mina kesher elyon da'araisa. I can prove to you that the Kesher Elyon, now he's not talking about multiple knots, but he says one knot is Daraisa. There's one knot that's absolutely required me Daraisa. Because if you were to hold the Kesher Elyon or only Darabanan, that you don't need any real knots in your tzitzis. Why would I need a drusha, which the Gemara in Yavamis has, a drusha that tells me that you're allowed to put wool strings in a linen beged and make tzitzis in violation of shatness? Why would I need a drasha to tell me you're allowed to do that if you didn't need to make a knot? Why? Because if you're not making a knot, then it's not shatness, it's not together. There's no isser of having wool and linen. There's an isser of having wool and linen together. You could have one shirt in your closet that's linen and a jacket that's wool, and that's fine. The problem is you can't put them together. That's the problem of shatness. It's not called together if the wool string just happens to go through the linen baguette. It's only if you knot it onto the linen baguette that it's going to become a problem. So I wouldn't need a drusha to tell me that I say docha los, I say the tzitzis is docha, the lav of shatness. In this case, you wouldn't need a drasha. It would be pasha that it would be okay because there's no isra of shatness. The fact that I have the drasha tells me that there must be an isra of shatness going on over here. What is that isra of shatness? That I'm tying something. So you see from there that kesher is a din d'oraisa. Otherwise, drasha wouldn't be necessary. I just put the Gemara here for you on Yevamos Daf Dalet where it tells you what the drasha is. The Torah says l'silba shatness, and then it says gedilim tasalcha, that one should not wear shatness, but you should make tzitzis. So we darshan from the smichus, from the juxtaposition of those two things. Now, why does it connect tzitzis to shatness? To tell me that the mitzvah saseh of tzitzis is docha the yisra of shatness. That only makes sense if you have a kesher. So that is statement number two in the Gemara. So let's, any questions at this point? No? Okay, so let's yeah?
How do we know that the shatness is going according to the ties? Like, I don't understand why that's a proof that you need ties as
So you have to know a little bit about the halachas of shatness. The Gemara has drashos that of what makes shatness daraisa. So it's not just any combination of threads. I mean, you need short tavuk nose. You need shtei tekifos. There are drashos that the Gemara makes from psukim, some from the term shatness, but from psukim about how what the definition of shatness is. A lot of times when we have shatnas, even things that are found to have shatnas in it, it's only shatnas midrabanan. So we had a shaila once. One of the rebbeim in DRS told me his wife was in shul on Simchas Torah, and the rebbetzin of the shul came over to her and said, "That's a very beautiful skirt you're wearing. Where did you get it?" And she said, "Oh, I bought it at
Walmart."
Macy's. She didn't buy it at Walmart. Macy's, let's say. Okay. So the Rebbetzin said, "Oh, you bought it at Macy's? Oh, that's funny, because I bought the same skirt at Macy's and I got it checked for shotness and it had shotness." And the woman was like, "Uh-oh, what do I do now?" Now, the Gemara says what you do in that situation. The Gemara says that if you are in the shuk, the Gemara Brach says, if you're in the market and you happen to be, and you find shotness bebigdo, someone finds shotness bebigdo, so if it's shotness do raisa, you have to take it off. Because ein chachma ein tvuna ein etz neged Hashem, even though Kavod Abriel says docha lo say Shabbat Torah, but as we said last night, Kavod Abriel says only docha yisurim to Rabbanan, it's not docha yisurim to Raisa, so you have to remove the shatness. So the woman's like, well, what do I do? She's in shul. What? Oh, okay, granted, there are other issues over there also, because it's a woman, but it's a very strange situation. Obviously, to be put in, the Rebbetzin probably shouldn't have said that right then. She probably should have called her after Yantif. By the way, you know, get that thing checked. But anyway, the probably what she has to be Samechan is that even when they find shatness, there's a pretty solid chance that it's only shatness midrabanan, it's not shatness midaraisa, or whatever.
So we assume that every single suit or skirt has it. Meaning, I was spoken to a guy who checks for shatness in months, and he was telling me that you can buy a suit from, let's say, Macy's, and you can buy the same exact suit in one suit because they come from different factories. So the different, let's say, whatever the Macy's brand name.
It's not always going to be. I didn't know that.
It doesn't matter what the suit is. It could be that it's a couple of different factories. So they won't have.
I didn't know.
If they had a list on, if that was the case, if it wasn't the case, they would have a list on the computer of every single brand. Now this one's shotness, this one's not.
Well, there are shotness checkers that will tell you. Like if you buy certain suits, you can call them up and say, you know, in this brand, have you ever found shotness? I've checked 150 suits like that. Never found shotness once in them. Now you could probably be Samechan that you probably
wouldn't have.
But.
Just cuts everything
open. No, okay. I'm saying that would work. Okay, we're getting a little far afield. It's chaylus here. So statement number two is Rabba's statement that the Kesh Elyon is Doraisa. So let's go analyze each one. First, Rabba's statement. So what was Rabba's Raya? It must be that you have to have multiple Ksharim, because otherwise the whole din Gardum doesn't make sense, because as soon as it gets cut down to the knot, the whole thing will fall apart, and if there aren't multiple ksharim. So if there's only one kesher, that kesher is going to come out, and once that kesher comes out, everything's going to come out. According to Rava,
there's only one knot here.
Right, that's exactly. There's only one knot after you finish all the gedilim, holding the gedilim together. Well, Rav is saying there's multiple knots, there has to be multiple knots, because if there were only one knot, it would obviously be at the end to hold it all together, and that wouldn't work once you hit Gardumin.
This knot over here.
Yeah?
According to Rav, it says it's basically, doesn't exist. It's just strings go around, and then you tie it up. Yeah, the pulley is over here in the line, right?
According to Rabba, the Kesher Elyon is Doraisa. It's not that it doesn't exist; it's that it may not be Doraisa. But we'll get to Rabba. Let's hang in there for a minute. So yeah.
If it was really only one knot on the bottom, like the floor of a stadium, so what difference would it make if it's going to unravel or not? Whether or not it'll unravel quicker. If I cut it here or it's here, there's still going to unravel at the same pace.
Right.
So then what's the shmami now on Rabba?
No, because he's saying the knots at the end, after
right.
the yeah.
Right. So it's really in any case. Why is it specifically Gardumin?
Because the knot will only come undone because it's Gardumin. In order to make a knot stay, you need some give at the end of the string. If the string gets cut down all the way to the knot, then it will fall apart.
That's not Gardumin.
Okay, good. So he's assuming the Gardumin means Gardumin Lagami, meaning it sounds that he's assuming that way. I mean, we had multiple deos in Rishonim of how to read that Gemara, whether Gedei Lanvan was only within the Bnei Rabbi Chiya, or not only within the Bnei Rav Chiya. In any case, he happens to be quoting the Bnei Rav Chiya. Yeah, so that's a good question. Why could Kedel Anvar create that problem? Very strong question. I didn't see anyone discussing Bob Nielsen.
Do Rav and Rava have to be arguing in this case?
No.
No.
Yeah, two separate statements. In fact, it could be the same person. And in the V'yama Rava, it quotes a different gears on the side that it's Rava. That Rava really says two separate statements. They're both Rava, perhaps. Now, how many knots does this prove that you really need, according to Rava? The fact that you have Gardumin proves... So Rava wanted to say it proves you need a knot al kol chul v'chulia. Now, my tzitzis have seven chulios. Your tzitzis have four chulios. So however many chulios you have, does this really prove you need a knot al kol chul v'chulia? All it proves is that you need some other knot besides for the kesher that's going to be right by the gardumin. That if you have the kesher right by the gardumin, that's going to fall apart, and then everything's going to fall apart. If you have any other knot anywhere along the way, it won't fall apart. It will be held together by that other knot. So how does Rava prove that you need a kesher al kol chulia v'chulia? So two basic deos in Rishonim. Tosfos says, okay, where are you going to put the other knot? You can put it somewhere in the middle. Why would you put it somewhere randomly after three gedilim before the next four? Why would that make sense? Meaning, it just says logical that if there's going to be another knot somewhere, there should be another knot everywhere. I mean, if there's going to be another knot somewhere, it should be al kol chulia v'chulia. Yeah, but he's saying, why would you do by the next one, not the one after that, or not the one after that? Meaning, and then next time it becomes Gardumin, he just doesn't see a Svarah to be Mechalek. I hear you, but he doesn't see a Svarah to be Mechalek.
No, if that's true, there are no set Chulios, because there's one big Chulio, right?
No, you can make different Chulios without making knots between them. Take a look at people who have Ramses by tucking it around, or whatever, you can make Chulios without making multiple knots. Now, the Shittim Kvetzer says, he doesn't prove that you need a knot al kol chulia v'chulia. He only proves that you need a second knot. When he said al kol chulia v'chulia, that was lav davka. So obviously each one has a weakness. Tulsa's weakness is that the Raya doesn't really prove it, and he's saying that it's just logical, but how logical is that really? What Noam is saying made a lot of sense. That maybe you only need another knot by the next chulia. The weakness in Shittim Kvetzes is he's kind of ignoring Rava's words. Rava says you need al kol chulia v'chulia, and Shittim Kvetzes says, nah, not really. You just need two. So, you know, once you're doing two, you can do as many as you want. But really, that all he's proving is that you need two. Be that as it may, whatever he's actually able to prove, Rava holds one knot does not suffice. How do we paskin? So, 2 points in terms of how we paskin. First point is that there is a concept in Shas, maybe more than 2 points, but the first point still is, there is a concept in Shas that called Ashinuya Dechika Lo Samchina. Anyone familiar with that concept? Ashinuya Dechika Lo Samchina. That sometimes the Gemara will say, sometimes it's more obvious than this. The Gemara will say a halacha and try to prove the halacha five times from five different brisos. And each time it tries to prove from another brisa, another Mishnah, the Gemara say, no, halacha ma'yaskinon, it's all about a different case. Or, no, that goes like haitana, that's follows shitas ve'shava. And we'll have a different answer for each brisa. And at the end of the day, the Gemara will have no proofs. And you know what the Rishonim will almost always do at the end of such a sugya? They'll paskin like that halacha. None of the proofs worked. Why would they pass them like that halacha if none of the proofs worked? Because there's a concept that Shinuya Dechika Lo Samchinan. If we have so many sources proving a certain point, and we have an answer, a way to fetch out that the proof's not really such a good proof, the proof doesn't really, doesn't necessarily prove conclusively. Yeah, it doesn't prove conclusively, but if you have five things that sound like they're saying the same thing, so that brings us like 90% of the way there, and therefore we're going to end up poskening that way. Even though, logically you can find somewhere to argue with it. So there is such a concept. Now, this is not a classic case of that, because really Rava has only one proof. But if you think about how we reject Rava's proof, how do we reject Rava's proof? Maybe, like you were telling me to say, maybe that when Bnei Rav Chiya said that Gardumin or Kasher, it was talking to Chiyai Gavna, where they happened to dream up the idea of tying many knots, but really there's no halachic reason to do that. Come on, they just decided to tie a bunch of knots with no halachic reason to do that? It's possible. Right, it's possible. But it could be argued that would be a shinuya dechika, that would be something that's a way to tell us that it's not a proof, but still, come on, it sounds very much like Rava. So on the one hand, you'd want to say, well, we don't pasken like Rava because the Gemara rejects Rava. But on the other hand, you say, no, maybe we should pasken like Rava because look at how the Gemara rejected Rava. In fact, the Gemara never rejected Rava. The Gemara rejected his proof, not by saying that we know that his proof is wrong, not by saying that he misunderstood anything, but by saying that it's efshar, it's possible that when B'nai Rabbi Chiya were talking, it happens to be B'chiya Gavna that they dreamt up the idea of tying extra knots. So maybe the way we reject Rava's proof is not going to lead us down a path where we have to paskin against Rava. So that is point number one to make over here. And point number two to make over here is that this may be totally irrelevant l'alacha anyhow. Because we made the point several times, Rambam says it explicitly, and Tulsa says over here as well. All of the discussion that we have about exactly how to tie tzitzis doesn't really matter all that much, bizman hazeh. Why not? Tchelas. All of the discussion of exactly how to tie tzitzis are all about emphasizing the value of tchelas, about bringing our attention, fixating us on the tcheles, focusing us on the tcheles, and that's the critical part of tzitzis, to be able to focus us on the tcheles, so that we will remember that tcheles dom eliyan, dom elokia, etc., etc., we'll remember all the mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the point. And that's why we have a certain number of krichos, and a certain number of chulios. That's what it's all about. It's all about tcheles. Tulsus is mechadesh, that not only are the krichos and the chulios there to emphasize the importance of tcheles, but Tosos adds in Dibra Maschul Lo on Lametes of Aleph, Tosos adds, he says, "Va'anan the less than tcheles lo kaptin al baha, va'anami da'amrin and sarach likshar al kol chulia v'chulia, haynu k'day she'ei nikra tcheles." The only reason we make knots is to again make the tcheles more recognizable, and therefore nowadays it's not necessary. So even if we do paskin like Rava, it may not matter if you don't have tcheles. So again, 2 points. First of all, the fact that the Gemara rejects Rava may not be a reason not to paskin like Rava. Adrabba, the way the Gemara rejects Rava may be a reason to paskin like Rava. Point number two is, it may not matter whether we paskin like Rava, because if you don't have tcheles, none of this matters. Now, I don't know what tzosos means, that when you tie a knot, that makes the tcheles more nicker. Anyone have an idea what that means? The tcheles becomes more recognizable because you made a knot. Why does the tcheles become more recognizable just because you made a knot? The knot creates a certain white.
Yeah.
So it creates more of a contrast. Okay, that could very well be.
Isn't it that we wrap the tcheles around the white? So if you're all just hanging together, you might not notice it, but it's on the outer.
Well, you'll only notice tcheles. Because it's wrapped around the white, so you see.
No, but you see the white on those strings, so it's like you both see it together.
Without the knots, it's not a real.
Yeah, over here, I see only tcheles.
You have two knots.
Isn't that making it more nicker? You're saying you do or you don't, right?
Then putting a knot makes it more nicker. Why not have a knot? Why have a knot? Just don't do a knot and just wrap the whole thing around the tcheles. So I understand that contrast may do it. That when you have a knot, in the knot, you're going to see a little bit of love, and also you're not just going to see tcheles. Good. So that is point number two over here. What about the Rambam? Take a look at the Rambam. Fascinating Rambam. In source number 9, says the Rambam, "V'lokeh chut echad min alavan, you should take one string of lavan, v'korich bo kricha achas al shara chutin, v'tzara beged, umanicha." Okay, we'll leave that aside for tomorrow, or the next day. "V'lokeh chut hatcheles, take a string of tcheles, v'korech bo shtei krichos b'tzad krichos shel lavan v'kosher." So what the Rambam said is, your first wraparound, your first kricha should be lavan, then the next two krichos should be tcheles, v'kosher. Does that mean? Tie a knot. So after your first chulia, you did one lavan, two tcheles, tie a knot. Ve'elu ha'shalosh krichos heima nekroitin chulia. This set of three krichos, of the one lavan plus the two tcheles wraparounds, that's called the chulia. Why do we start with lavan? We already saw the Gemara, right? The Gemara on the bottom of the Lamed Tesem, if you got to start with lavan, you got to end with lavan. So we have to start with a lavan kricha, two tcheles krichos, then vikoshe. Umarchik ma'at, then go a little bit further up the gedil. Va'osa chulya shnia b'chud shel tchelis levado. Make the second chulya with what? With only tchelis, which means, sounds like three wraps, three krichos of tchelis. Then, umarchik ma'at, va'osa chulya shlishis. Then, keep a little bit of distance again and make a third chulya with only tchelis. V'chein ad chulya ha'achrona, up until the last chulya, till you get to the last one where you do two tcheles and one lavan. Because since you started with the lavan, you have to finish with the lavan. That's straight from the Gemara. According to the Rambam, do you need a kesher al kol chulya v'chulya? No, how do you know that? No. Very good. Simple diuk in the Rambam. The Rambam, after the first chulia, says, V'kosher! Now tie a knot. Then he says, make another chulia. And then he does not say tie a knot. Just says, Yarchik ma'at. Leave a little space, tie another chulia. Leave a little space, tie another chulia. Nothing about another kesher. The fact that he doesn't have anything about another kesher leads you to believe that you don't need kesher al kol chulia v'chulia. That the Rambam paskins against Rava. Now, not just Bisman Hazeh, he's passing with Tchelis against Rava. Prove that that's... Show me how that's a bad diuk.
Just what about the end?
Yeah. Where else doesn't the Rambam say you need a knot? At the very end, where you obviously need a knot. Meaning, when you're done doing all the chulios, what's going to hold it together? You can need a knot at the end to hold it all together. The Rambam doesn't mention that either. He only mentions the first kesher. In fact, the Rambam doesn't mention a lot of things as he goes on in the, he says, Va'osachul Yishlishis, Umarchimad Va'osachul Yishlishis. He didn't tell me how many strings to make in the Chul Yishlishis, how many krichos to make in the Chul Yishlishis. Why didn't he tell me how many krichos to make in the Chul Yishlishis?
He said all the chulias are like this.
Because he already said in the first chulia you should make three, and the second chulia you should make three. So you're getting the hint. Meaning, the Rambam figured that you'll pick up on what he's talking about. He described in precise detail how to make the first chulia. In slightly less precise detail, but in some detail, how to make the second chulia. With no detail whatsoever, how to make the third chulia. The Rambam's clearly assuming that you're going to take the information you got about the first chulia and apply it to the subsequent chulia. So on the one end, sounds like you have a really good diuk in the Rambam that you don't need a kesher bin kol chulia v'chulia. But then you look a little more carefully, it's not such a good diuk in the Rambam.
Why wouldn't
what? That's also a very good question. Maybe it doesn't matter that much. Well, he does mention at least three, and then he just says, until you're finished, maybe you just need to keep on tying until you hit the ratio of the 2-to-1 ratio. Well, Be'ezras Hashem, if not tomorrow, the next day, I'm not yet sure which shiur we're doing tomorrow yet. Take a look back at source number 6 now, the Beit Yosef. So the Beit Yosef has to understand what the Rambam is talking about. So he writes. First he quotes the Mordechai, that Mashmi Divrei Mordechai Da'alocha K'Rava, that we pass him like Rava. Shekasav Di Aval Gav De Talmud Dachilei Mikol Makom Rava Lo Hadar Ben. What's the Mordechai saying? Why do I pass like Rava? The Gemara rejects him. So I gave you one explanation that, the Gemara rejects him, but Shinu Dechika Lo Samchinan. It's not exactly what the Mordechai is saying. The Mordechai is saying, yeah, the Gemara rejects Rava, but we don't have on record that Rava ever said, you're right, I'm wrong. So if Rava never admitted he was wrong, Rava still held he was right. But what gives us the right to say that if we proved him wrong? No, we didn't prove him wrong. We just showed that his raya is not a great raya, but Rava may have said, okay, so you don't like my raya, I still think I'm right. So Mordechai says, we pass him like Rava. V'aramam kasav v'zel ashono. Lokeh chut echon min alavan v'kori kricha achasal sharachut blah, 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 etc. He finally gets done quoting the Rambam. Somewhere. Umi delo hiskir, fourth line. Umi delo hiskir kosher elo b'chulya rishona. From the fact that the Rambam only mentions tying a knot by the first chulya. Nira l'chara she'eno posek yahid amarav etzarech likshal kol chulya v'chulya. It must be that the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rava that you need a kesher by every chulya. Because after all, the Gemara rejected Rava's Raya. And instead, he does paskin like Rava's other statement, what we call Rava's statement, that the Kesher Elyon is Daraisa. And he explains, Mefarish to Elyon, I know Elyon Mamish Kolomer Eitzel Cholia Rishon, Shasmuchul Knaf. The Elyon means the first knot after the first Cholia. Now he's getting on into Rava's statement already. So the Beis Yosef is medayek, the diuk we wanted to make originally, that the Rambam holds that only that against Rava, that you only need that one kesher. But we pointed out that that's not necessarily the case. In fact, the Beis Yosef goes on to say, four lines before the end of the paragraph, V'yoser nira lomar shu posek yeidam Rava. Really, I think the Rambam is passing like Rava. Why doesn't he mention Kesher b'kol chulia? Umashlo iskir Kesher b'kol chulia. Mnesha samach hamasha kasa v'karich bo shtei krichos v'kosher. Ve'ilo shalosh krichos ima nekram chulia. Demash b'de shalosh krichos ima Kesher nekram chulia. He has a better diuk than we have. I said before that the Rambam already told you how to make the first chulia, so he assumes you'll take that information and you'll apply it to the other chulias. He says, no, I'll do better. The Rambam defines the term chulia for you. Look back at the Rambam. The Rambam gives you a definition of the term chulia. How does the Rambam define the term chulia? He has critical words. He says, "Hey, manekra'im chulia. This is what's called chulia. What? What's called chulia? Look in the second line of that Rambam. Hey, manekra'im chulia. This is what's called the chulia. What's called the chulia?" So I would have read it Shalosh Krichos. It says Ve'elu Shalosh Krichos Heman Akrayim Chulia. Especially since the Bar Ilan puts in commas for you, so it's great. So these three Krichos, that's what's called the Chulia. Nothing to do with the Kesha. Says the Beis Yosef, no, that's a misreading of the Rambam. The Rambam says, take one white string, tie it around. Then take two blue strings, tie it around. Then tie a knot. Now these three Krichos are called the Chulia. If the knot wasn't part of the definition of chulia, you know what the Rambam should have said? Take white string, tie it around, wrap it around. Take a blue string, wrap it around twice. Ve'ela shalosh krichos nikra chulia. V'kosher. He should have said, right after he described wrapping three times, that's chulia. Oh, and now, once you have your chulia, make a kesher on top of the chulia. The kesher is going to close your chulia. But no, he says, wrap the white string around, wrap the blue string around twice, tie it, and now you have a chulia. The implication is that you only have a chulia once, you tie it. So the definition of chulia is that it needs to be tied. And therefore, says Beis Yosef, it could be the Rambam is paskening like Rava, and he's dafka paskening like Rava. That's the definition of chulia. So for those keeping score at home, do we pass on like Rava? Rava has a chiddush that you need a kesher by each and every chulia. Rava thinks he has a raya. The Gemara rejects his raya. Do we pass on like Rava? So in terms of on the books, Rishonim, do we pass on like Rava? Tosos will say that, well, if you don't have tchelis, it doesn't matter. Okay, fine. But let's say I do have tchelis. Do I pass on like Rava? So we have the opinion of the Mordechai quoted in the Beis Yosef?
Yes.
The opinion of the Mordechai quoted in the Beis Yosef? Yes. Why yes? He was rejected? He didn't feel rejected. They kept on telling him no. He said yes. He didn't feel rejected. Then you have the Rambam. What does the Rambam hold? Two ways to read the Rambam. Beis Yosef first quotes the way to read the Rambam that you only need one kesher. Then says, but if you look really carefully at the Rambam, he's defining chulia as kesher being part of the chulia. So what would you do? Let's say you don't pass like Rava. Is there a problem with doing what Rava says? Is there a problem with tying a kesher? Is it bal tosif to tie a kesher? How do you know not? The B'nai Rabbi Chia, meaning everyone agrees B'nai Rabbi Chia did tie multiple kesherim. The question is, did they have to? The only Jews we have on record that we know what they did actually tied multiple kesherim. So if that's the case, there's certainly nothing wrong with following Rabbi. So if you're a posek, with half a brain, what you're going to say is, l'chora, Might as well. Meaning, now that I know what all the Rishonim say, and half the Rishonim think we do like Rava, more than half the Rishonim think we do like Rava, another Rishonim think we don't do like Rava, but even if you don't hold like Rava, everyone holds it's kosher to do like Rava. There's nothing wrong with doing it, and B'nai Rabbi Chiya did it. So I wouldn't mind putting myself in B'nai Rabbi Chiya's camp. I'm sure they were good guys. I'm pretty safe there. So you should tie a kasher by each Choliyah.
Yeah, those who would say that the Rambam
Well, Beis Yosef is mosaic that the Kesher, the first Kesher Elyon, you know, we've been talking the whole morning about two possibilities of what Kesher Elyon is. Is Kesher Elyon this? Is it right? Is it the bottom one or the top? Is it this or is it this? There's another possibility. It might be this.
Which one?
The one right after the first Chuliyah.
That's
what the Beis Yosef is mosaic in the Rambam. That's going to be Kesher Elyon. Meaning, the Beis Yosef, if you understand the Rambam, they only need one Kesher, you don't need by Kol Chuliyah V'Chuliyah. Where did the Rambam say to make that Kesher?
After the three.
Right after the first three. So says the Beis Yosef, that's his Kesher Elyon. The Rambam paskins, you need Kesher Elyon's Daraisa. That's why he made a big deal about that Kesher. Obviously, you can need a Kesher at the end of all the Chuliyos also, just hold it all together. Yeah, but that's not an important Kesher, that's just a practical Kesher. The real Kesher Elyon is the one after the first Chuliyah.
The first Kesher, so this Kesher wouldn't be Daraisa?
Right, according to the Rambam.
You would have to have that Kesher, though.
No, you could start rapping. Just start winding.
Not going to come undone.
And they make Kesher after. It's right on the Beged. So, okay, so which is the Kesher Elyon? You could read this Rashi 1,000 times and still have no idea what he's talking about. If you did know the Rashi on the bottom, you know? First of all, there are Gersos issues all over Rashi.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult to figure out what Rashi's talking about. It's much easier to figure out what Rashi's talking about by looking at Tosos than by looking at Rashi. Right, Rashi says, you know, it's hard when you're using words and not pictures. You know, he says, the bottom one, because we're counting top to bottom. But what's bottom, what's top? That's the whole point. Meaning the Kesher Elyon is really the Tachton. So what's the Kesher Tachton then? Meaning it's just very confusing, you don't know. Because when you wear the tzitzis, obviously the one that's closest to the Anaf hangs lowest. That would be the Tachton. And the one that would be the Elyon, you would think, would be the one closest to the Beged. But when you're tying the tzitzis, the first thing you tie that's close to the bottom is, you know, the bottom would be the beged, would be the one closest to the beged, and the Kesher Elyon would be the one furthest from the beged. The word Elyon though does imply one thing. It implies, well, certainly top, but meaning it implies that it's an extreme. That it's on one end or the other. It's probably not somewhere in the middle. L'chor. Which makes the Beis Yosef a little difficult to understand. The Beis Yosef's diuk in the Rambam, or, you know, if you accept that diuk in the Rambam, the Shitas Rambam, a little bit difficult. If the Kesher Elyon is after the first Chuliyah, that's Elyon? I would think Elyon would be, you know, at an end. You know, that's like right in the middle. Why would you, of all the terminology the Gemara had at its disposal to be able to use to describe that Kesher? I mean, we're looking at it backwards. Like, what could they have meant by Kesher Elyon? Try thinking of it like you're writing the Gemara. And you have to describe, you want to talk about the Kesher that's after the first Chuliyah. You have to come up with a name for that Kesher. What would you call that Kesher? Kesher Rishon, maybe? That would be a good one. Kesher Elyon? Why in the world would you call that Kesher Elyon? So that's a little bit difficult. That's something that's a bit of a challenge.
What's the cycle after three?
Yeah, if you say that's
not Elyon.
Yeah, it's not on any extreme. What? What do you mean it's not a Chuliyah? Rambam says it is a Chuliyah. The first Chuliyah is a Chuliyah with the Kesher.
That
or even without the Kesher, according to that reading of the Rambam.
That is the Kesher. He says, according to Rambam, it's the Kesher after the
first three. That's the Kesher Elyon. That's how the Beis Yosef reads the Rambam, according to the first way of reading the Rambam. Now, which knot is the Kesher Elyon according to all the different Shittos? So Tosafot here quotes that Rashi has Shnei Pirushim, Echad Achar Hagadil, Vinikra Elyot. What's Achar Hagadil? The one closest to the loose strings, right? The one in between where it's windy and the loose strings, the last one. The last one you would tie if you're tying tzitzis, right? So that's Achar Hagadil, and that's called Elyon. And he says, what's my raya? So a bit of a off-color raya, if you could say that. Kimo lemalu min ha'atara. The Gemara Maseches Nida Daf Yud Gimel is Hutzah Zera Levatala. The Gemara talks about the Yisra of Hutzah Zera Levatala, and the Gemara goes through what the Yisra of Hutzah Zera Levatala is, whether it's an Yisra of Niyuf Biyad or an Yisra of Hashchas Zera, whatever, big sugya there. But what the Gemara goes through certain things one shouldn't do because they might lead to Hutzah Zera Levatala. So one of the things says that a person should not be mashtin va'oches ba'ama. A person shouldn't hold himself while he's urinating. So the Gemara says, well, it depends where. Where on his aver he's holding himself. So he uses the lashon lamala min ha'atara. So he uses the lashon lamala. So there, like the tzitzis, you know, lamala by tzitzis, we said lamala could be what hangs lowest down, because that's lamala from one perspective, because it's at the end, at the tip. Or lamala could be what's closest to the body. So over there also, by the Eivir HaZachrus, we could say lamala could... over there he says it's pashut that lamala means what's hanging furthest down. That's lamala. Now it happens to be Tzmachlokas Rishonim there also. He's not going to solve anything with that raya, because the Rishonim also debate, well, lamala means over there. Is lamala closer to the guf, or is lamala further away from the guf? Okay, but Tosfos, if you like my definition of lamala in Nida, so then it's consistent with my definition of lamala here. Okay, lishnachrina piresh samach leknaf, and the other pshat Rashi has is that it's samach leknaf, is that it's closest to the beged.
There were two opposite
pshatim
in both
parts. Yeah, quotes them both. That Rashi has two pshatim. Either it's the furthest one from the beged or the closest one to the beged. Now the Rambam, again, we said, seems like he's saying that it should be the one that's right after the first chulia. What are they arguing about? What's the function of a kesher? What's this all about? So I don't know if you had a chance to look, but take a look now. This is Rav Soloveitchik. This is what you need Rav Soloveitchik for. I mean, and a lot of other and every other sugya in Shas. Take a look at page 6 in the Shirei Agrid. This is from that book. Yeah. Page 6.
The machlokes on what is Elyon should already be a machlokes between Rava and Rava. According to Rava.
Well, keep in mind that half the Girsos have Rava and Rava. But it's not, there is no Rava. That's all Rava.
Would add that though.
Yeah.
According to Rava, the Kesher Elyon should be this one to try to hold, because that's only not the mayor's to try to keep all the tags. But according to Rava.
Well, according to Rava, you don't need it so badly because you have other knots that keep the chulios intact. You need Mar Mechamos? There you go. Yeah?
But according to Rava, then you want to make sure that it's not considered shatnez, so like the...
Oh, okay, good. Meaning, very good. Meaning, from a shatnez perspective, if Rava's whole... What was Rava's whole source of Kesher Elyon Zaraisa? Is why else would I need to be told that shatan is not
a
problem? From a shatanist perspective, Noam's suggesting that the not closest to the beged lechara would make the shatanist. That may not be true though. Meaning, if you have a kesher anywhere along the line, that's making it muhudak yafeh, that really makes it attached very, very well to the beged, that might be shatanist, even if the knot itself is not directly on the beged. I mean, it's not touching the beged. Yeah.
The lashon of the Gemara is that if you cut off the
you're assuming that, well, the Gemara ordered the Rava in the first statement might have been talking Midrabanan. In the second statement, Midaraisa. Meaning, it could be that the first knot is the Kesher Elyon. And Rav is saying, but midrabanan, you need multiple knots because this whole din of keeping your gedilim together, you know, the chashash that your gedilim might fall apart, is a concern midrabanan, is a legitimate concern midrabanan.
Is this one, so then you cut it off,
in a chanan, right. But Rava might say Kesh Al Yon is one close to the Beged. That's Doraisa. Everything else is Rabbanon, but still Midrabbanon, you need Ben Kol Kuliya B'Kuliya, because if the top one were to become undone, everything would go down until the Kesher Al Yon, and then you'll only have a Kesher, you won't have a Gedil. Take a look at Rav Soloveitchik, bottom paragraph. V'nei Rav Seinu Rishonim Nechlu B'Yisod Din Kesher Al Yon. Everyone argues, the Rishonim argue about the nature of Din Kesher Al Yon. HaRambam Pasuk Sheish Likshar Asachutim Davka Li'achar Kricha Sachulya. The Rambam holds, you don't tie a knot before you do the krichos. You only tie after the krichos. Harayvid he sigalav bezev kasav kosher tchila samach leknaf kesher echad vuhu anikra kesher elyon v'achar kachorek. We didn't read the Ravid inside, but the Ravid said, first knot you tie right next to the beged, that's your kesher elyon. And then you do krichos on top of that. Mistaver shalafia Ravid. So what are they arguing about? According to the Ravid, din kesher elyon mechayev chibor lebeged. The function of Kesher Elyon is that the Kesher Elyon creates the connection between the strings and the Begin. That the tzitzis need to be al kanfe bigdayim. How do you accomplish al kanfe bigdayim? Tying it. Kesher is what makes a chibur. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to connect the tzitzis to the beged, so you do that with the kesher right by the beged. So that makes a lot of sense. What's the Rambam shita? Achshita seramam tu nabiur. Madua in the likshar as a kesher of nekricha sachutim. According to the Rambam, why wouldn't you tie a knot before you do the wrappings? V'nira shalfia Rambam din kesher elyon noad kidei lekayim es achulia. The Rambam understands that the function of kesher elyon is not to connect the strings to the beged. What's the function of Kesher Elyon? To hold the chulia together. To keep the chulia intact. And that's why you have to specifically only tie that Kesher after you made a chulia. Because before you made a chulia, there's no point in the Kesher. The whole point, the whole function of a Kesher on tzitzis is to hold the chulia together. Says, think of the lashon of Rava. That you need to be kosher al kol chulia v'chulia. Why al kol chulia v'chulia? Why do you have to be kosher al kol chulia v'chulia? Because what's that kesher going to do? It will keep the chulia together. That's what a kesher is for. It's there to keep a chulia together. Look at the footnote. Yitachein shetzuras hakesher hadarush tluya b'she'ilazu. Maybe the way that you make the kesher is tully on this issue also. It's tully on these two functions of what a kesher is for. Where the Ravid holds to connect it to the beged and the Rambam holds to keep the chuli intact. Because im a kesher ukidei lechaber sachutim lebeged, if it's to connect it to the beged, mistavish etzorich lichshars arba'as roshei achutim im arba'a acherim. If it's to connect the strings to the beged, you want all the strings involved. You'll take all four on one side, the four on the other side, and you'll tie them all, and you'll make a knot the way we tie knots in our tzitzis if you don't have tchelas, or even some of us if we do have tchelas. Achim hakesher einu ela l'shum kiyum achulia. But the whole point of the kesher is to just keep the chulia there. What do you need in order to keep the chulia there? You don't need to have all eight strings tied together. Maspik likshor chut hakrach im chut echad ozayin achutim. Take one and seven and tie the one around the seven. It will keep them there. But if it's to connect the four strings really well to the beged, so you want the four strings equally tied, connected to the beged. If it's just to keep the chulia intact, so just make something there that will hold the chulia in place. Ach, he says, here's the problem. What did the Ravid say? Where's the Kesher Elyon according to the Ravid? Samach lebeged. And therefore, according to the Ravid, it should turn out, how should you tie the kesher? All eight, right? Acharayvid b'hilchus tzitzis kasav, kosher tchila samach knaf kesher echad b'chut lavan, u b'chut shel tcheles, v'ushenik r'kesher elyon. Tie a string of lavan and a string of tcheles, and that will be your kesher elyon. What does that imply? Yeah, you only need two strings. U'mash v'shekosher chut echad shel lavan im chut at tcheles, afal pi shekesher elyon the dvar of whom yishum chibur lebeged. So he says, v'ulay yesh tov sofer b'dvar v'samach lomar b'chutei lavan. But come on, you know, you can't say a vart and then say that anything that doesn't fit into my vart is a tall sofer. Yeah, that's cheating. That seems like, you know, doesn't seem to be fair. So, biur number one of Salvage Gaz in the Machlokas Rambam and the Ravid, or the, however you want to call it, the Machlokas Rashi and Rashi, or however you want to say the Machlokas, whether the Kesher Elyon is after the Chulios or before the Chulios, biur number one is, what's the purpose of Kesher Elyon? Is Kesher Elyon to be Mechaber to the Beged, or is Kesher Elyon to hold the Chulia together? Od Yesh Lefarish. But then he says another Pshat. Maybe Shekesher Elyon Umbidin Chibur Gam Ledas Rambam. Everyone holds Kesher Elyon's purpose is to hold it to the Beged. Ela Shagam Krichas Achulia Tzricha Lios Chelek Michibur Zeh. But the din of chulios is not just how to make krichos. It's not just how to make your tzitzis look nice, how to remind you of the mitzvahs, how to remind you of Hashem. The din of chulios, a chulia, is how to tie it to the beged. Meaning we don't look at it as here's the knot and here's a knot. We look at it as here's a knot. This whole thing is one very fancy knot. And the knot should be done in a very fancy way, in a very elaborate way. That's the din of chulia. Chulia is a chelek of the kesher. So he says, maybe that's the shita sarabma. That krichas a chulia tzarech lios chelek mi chibur zeh. Part of the chibur to the beged is al yedei chulios. What would be the problem if you tied a kesher before you did any chulios? You're already fully connected to the beged and you didn't include any chulios. It would make the strings connect to the beged without any chulios. And therefore, that would be a psul in the chulios. Why? Why would that be a psul in the chulios? Because what does a chulia have to do? It has to be functioning to connect it to the beged. And if it's not connecting, if it's connected to the beged before he ever made a single chulia, well, then the chulia doesn't serve any function.
You can't make the knot. Why would making the knot after the first one help too?
Because that's your first knot.
But that ends everything.
Then all the rest of the chulios wouldn't connect to it.
Yeah.
So maybe he holds only the first chulios.
Maybe the first one, that means you can't make the first knot on the top.
Right. Maybe you wouldn't be allowed to make the first knot on the top. See, nafkamina between these two understandings of the Rambam. First understanding of the Rambam is the function of Kesher Elyon is to hold the chulios in place. That's fine, but if I want to start with a knot before I make any chulios, am I allowed to do that? According to that first explanation, sure. As long as you have a knot that also holds the chulia in place, because the function of the knot, of the kesher elyon, is to hold the chulia in place. But the second viewer of the Rambam, the second way of Salvage understands the Rambam, that it's not that the function of the knot is to hold the chulia in place. Function of the knot is to connect the strings to the beged. But the chulia has to be part of the process. The chulia also has to be connecting the strings to the beged. Well, if that's the case, I'm not allowed to make a kesher before I make a chulia. Because then I'm taking the chulia out of the picture.
Also the first one.
No, according to the first way of understanding, the function of the knot is to hold the chulia in place. So I don't care about the kesher before the chulia also. I'll just make another knot at the end of the chulia. There'll be nothing wrong with making multiple knots. So he says, Mimela tzarek lachtem es akricha v'rak lachar mikein l'kshar es achutim k'dei sh'achibar l'knaf yiskayim hein al yidei achulia v'hein al yidei kesher. I think he points out somewhere that that's the nafkamina. I don't think I just thought of that. I think he points out somewhere that's the nafkamina between the two. Now, what about Rashi? Last thing, last paragraph we'll do. Rashi b'menachos piresh af hu shekesher elyon hu la'achar krichas achulia. Rashi also says kesher elyon is when? After the chulia. V'zel l'shono kesher elyon haynu nami ahu kesher shelamata halachal moshe misinai kilomar. Kesher echad betzitzis mia daraisa. There is one knot that has to be daraisa. Ulach inokat elyon. The law of the lechad kesher besofo avadle shemakayim as a gedil kula. That kesher is the kesher that keeps the whole gedil together. What kesher keeps the whole gedil together? The last one you tie is the one that keeps everything together. So that's the kesher elyon. Miloshan Rashi mashma. Sheish likshar la'achar achulia rakim eino rotz likshar yoser mikesher echa. From Rashi, it sounds like you only tie after the chulia if you're going to do only a single knot. Achar rotz likshar shnei ksharim, but if you want to tie two knots, yachal likshar kesher echa tzamuch l'knaf kshitas arayvid va'od kesher la'achar achulia kshitas arambam. Well, then you could satisfy both the Ravid and the Rambam by having one kesher before the chulia and one kesher after the chulia. Why? What do you really hold? Do you hold that it has to be a chibur? Do you hold that it has to be the thing that holds the gedil together? Why would you say to make two? So he says, Mistavir Shaldas Rashi, Yeshtei Halacha Shonos Bidin Kesherelia. Meaning the way Rav Salvation was saying until now is the Raivan and the Rambam have two different diametrically opposed views about what Kesherelion is about. Is it about chibur or is it about holding the gedil together? And Rashi says both. Why would he say both? Because Rashi would hold Svei Dinim. Kesher Elyon does two things. Mitzad Echad Kesher Elyon Humi Din Chibur. Ach Yesh O Din Shal Kesher Le'achar Akricha Kedei L'Kayim Es Achulia. Kesher Elyon should accomplish both. Now, if you make only one Kesher, the only way it's going to really accomplish both is if it's the last thing you tie. Because then we'll hold it to the Begad and we'll keep the Chulia intact. But if you couldn't make two ksharim, you could be mekayim. The better way to be mekayim chibur to the begadis house, by which kesher?
First one,
right? The better way to be mekayim holding the only way to be mekayim holding the chulia together is last one after the chulia. So if you couldn't make two, you could be mekayim both dinim in the best possible way. Look, if you're only going to make one kesher, make it your last kesher, because that will accomplish holding the gedil together, and it will also accomplish in a less than ideal way being mechaber to the beged. But if you're going to make two knots anyway, make them both. Make one samach to the beged to be mekayim the chibur, and make another one further from the beged to be mekayim holding the gedil together. So it turns out that there are three shitos in Rishonim. There's a shita you do close to the beged, that's the ravid, because it's all about chibur. The Shita Sarabam, you do it after the first Chulia, because it's about, either because it's about holding the Chulia together, or because the Chulia has to be part of the Kesher to the Beged. And then you have Shitas Rashi, that if you're going to do only one, do it all the way at the end. But if you're going to do two anyway, do one at the beginning and one at the end. That way you can be Mekayim both of these Dinim and Kesher Elyon with the knots that you do in the Tzitzis. Okay, that's the Sugya of Kesher Elyon.